Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Hutchcroft, photographer, freelancer, and curious question asker. Join me for half an hour each week while I sit down with inspiring photographers and pick their brains about growing their business, authentically connecting to their clients, and being a good human in this changing industry. If you're ready to take your photography hobby to the next level and turn it into an actual business, you're in the right place. If you want to hear real-life advice from professional photographers and start building the future of your dreams, don't go anywhere. Here we go. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Unscripted Podcast for Photographers. Today on the show, I have India Earle, who, to be honest, probably doesn't need all that much of an introduction. She's been shooting since the Flickr days, literally since she was a teenager, and has gone from sleeping in her Honda Civic to being a household name in the realm of wedding photography, presets, and photography education. This episode is a really candid chat about what life can look like after a really successful wedding photography career. Spoiler alert, it's about designing a system that supports your mental health and creativity. This conversation goes in so many different directions, but stay tuned right to the end where we hear from you, our community, and ask India some of your questions. No matter if you're starting your wedding photography career, wanting to take a step back from your career, looking for some helpful business tips, or just curious about setting up passive income streams, there's something in this episode for everyone. Enjoy. Cool. Well, I just might start by getting you to introduce yourself. A lot of our audience, I'm sure, already know who you are, but if you could just give us a quick background about who you are, what you're about, what you love. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am a photographer based in Utah. I specialize in couples and like small micro weddings, as well as doing self-love sessions. That's kind of like a newer thing for me, but I got started when I was 14 shooting. So super young. That was like, I don't know, I just was immediately drawn to it as soon as I got my hands on a camera. I always knew I wanted to work in the arts in some way. Like, I remember being a kid being like, I'm going to be either a cake decorator or a tattoo artist or something like that. Because I've always just been very drawn to doing that. And then at 16, I started actually shooting like for a job. My mom was like, you need to get a job. You're 16. I was like, I'm just going to figure out how to like monetize photography. Cause at that point I had just been doing it for a couple of years here and there as a fun, like side art project. I was really into like Flickr and Tumblr and like that whole vibe back then. So I was doing self portraiture, like surrealism portraiture, like very heavy photoshopping and things like that, underwater painting in clouds, really heavy photoshopping stuff. So that was just like what was in at the time. But yeah, then I kind of pivoted and started taking photos for just people I was in high school with, doing like senior photos. I started building a portfolio, started shooting families. And then that just kind of like turned into me shooting a wedding when I was 16. And I immediately was like, oh, I really connect with this. Like, I didn't really connect with kids that well at that point. And I still kind of don't. So like, I was shooting so many families and so many kids. And I was like, this is cool. But like, it's just like a job. But yeah, once I started shooting couples, I was like, oh, this is what I like, because I loved the storytelling aspect. I love that there was emotion and more than just a good photo of someone sitting in a field. It felt like there's a lot more depth to it. And so I kind of immediately took to that. And I went full time with my business when I was 19. I went to college for 2.5 years. And even like during that, I studied photography for one semester. I was like, okay, maybe I should try it. I don't know. I was kind of one of those people in college. I was all over the place. Do I major in this? Do I major in this? Like, I would go back and forth from like psychology to marketing to graphic design to nutrition. Like, I was all over the place. And then I was in a photography class and I was just like not doing well. Basically, I like failed. My professor failed me.
Wait, you and failed photography?
Yeah.
What? That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. I feel like he just had a vendetta against me, but he basically told me, he's like, you're never going to be able to do anything with this type of photography. Like, he wanted me to like be a fine art photographer. That was kind of the expectation for anyone that went through the photography program, because he was the only professor doing it. And that's what he did. And so I don't know, maybe not the best educator, but I just remember being in there being like, You're having us read out of stupid Amazon textbooks that cost $9. I'm paying so much money for this. And I love school. Like, I loved college. I've always loved learning and everything. But yeah, at that point, I was just getting kind of frustrated because I was like, this is so much money for something that I feel I'm already good at. I can teach myself better. And they, at the time, weren't teaching anything in the business classes about running a small business or running a business as a creative or like how to monetize your talents or your services or trades. And I kind of got to a point where I was like, you know what? I just want to take one semester off and I'm just going to see what I can make happen for myself. I'm just going to go full-time in my business. It felt really risky because I honestly did not have money like at all. I was sleeping for like 4 months. I slept in my Honda Civic, which is just like the shittiest car ever. Wow. It's not like van life, you know, this was like pre-van life era.
You were like rolling the seat, like the front seat back so you could like
recline. Yeah. I'm like sleeping in my trunk. It's great. But yeah, so I did that for that whole summer after I dropped out because I just didn't have the money. And I had scheduled myself. So I booked so many weddings that year because I was like, I just want to get my hands on anything and everything that I can shoot. So that way I can build my portfolio, get better, and then start getting to a point where I can like feel like a legitimate photographer. So I was charging like dirt cheap, probably like $800 for an entire wedding day. So I had and I'm in Utah. So there's a million weddings here happening every day. Like it's very family focused, marriage focused culturally here because of the predominant religion. And so there was a lot of opportunity to work, which was great. And they usually have really small budgets for these weddings. And so it kind of just like worked out in the way that I was able to fill up my schedule because I mean, this was even before Instagram and stuff. Like I wasn't even posting my work on Instagram. I was putting it in like a Facebook album or like a Facebook business page album or something like super ghetto. Like I was not marketing online.
That is wild.
I know. So I started just like any weddings that I was at, I would talk to all the bridesmaids, all the groomsmen, and so many of them, people here culturally will get engaged and only be engaged for a few months and then get married. And so maybe in May, I would meet one wedding where they're like, oh, I'm planning a wedding for later this year. And then they would book me because at the time I was like, wow, I must be so good. I was like so cheap. And so I got a lot of work. So that year I ended up actually shooting 70 weddings, which was like nuts. Would not recommend.
Oh my God.
I was doing like triple header weekends. There was even one day where I shot two mini weddings in a day. I don't know. Anyways, regrets. But because of that, I was able to like build my portfolio so quickly, so fast. I had to learn to be really, really efficient really quickly. I would go and shoot a wedding. And then that night, get home at 10 p.m. and I would edit the entire thing until like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. And then I would be completely done with it. And I'd wake up the next day at like 10 and then go shoot another wedding. Like I felt like a machine. But yeah, now I'm like, wow, I can't imagine a worse nightmare as a wedding photographer. But I'm really glad I did that because it taught me so much and it really pushed me like shooting that much that often and meeting so many people in such a condensed amount of time. It really helped kick off my business in a great way. And it helped me kind of figure out, okay, what do I want this to look like? And so for me, I feel like I've always tried to be pretty intentional with like how I'm showing up in my photography business. And that has kind of turned into me creating something that I feel like is entirely my own. And I started sharing about that online more and more, which then kind of got other photographers curious about my process, how I got to where I was at, how I curated my style, how I booked, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, after a few years after going full time, I ended up launching like an education program of my own. So I do both photography and I do education. So it's kind of like a 50-50 mix, which is great because I love coaching. I love teaching other photographers. I love teaching small business creatives how to make more money and basically create a business that is built to like serve their life rather than kind of building a business or building your life around your work. And like, yeah, I feel like it can always be the other way around. And I don't feel like artists need to be starving artists. I feel like we can all be thriving. And so, yeah, I just like love empowering people to do that and learning how to do that on my own as the years go on as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like you just kind of had a good couple of years where like everything was just like in overdrive. You like, went through like this baptism of fire and like learned on the job what to do and what not to do. So it makes sense that like you would, even in a short amount of time, just like have all of this experience that you're ready to share with other people. And it's still kind of fresh because you're still shooting as well. So I don't know, that makes sense to me that you would want to have the balance. And yeah, I'm just curious about like, now that you've had those years where maybe one of the things on your like what not to do list is like shoot upwards of 70 weddings a year. Like,
yeah, don't do that. If you want your mental health in a good place, would not recommend.
What would you tell new photographers thinking about getting into shooting weddings, like what to do?
I would say the number one thing is to mentor with another wedding photographer in any way that you can, whether that's through second shooting, whether that's you hire them as a mentor or a coach, or maybe they have online workshops or education or something like that that you can dive into. I think it's really worth investing and learning that way rather than paying with time and mistakes to learn. Like when I started, there was no such thing as like community over competition, and there was no online education. Like I remember even asking local photographers at the time, like, because I just wanted someone to teach me about gear. Like I've always felt like such a dweeb with my gear and not really understanding it or like knowing what lenses to get. There was such a long time that I was shooting every wedding I shot on a 70 to 200 lens, and that was it. That was the only lens I would take to weddings because I just didn't know any better. And like, I remember just asking a couple of photographers like, hey, can I like mentor with you? Can I pay you to teach me about the gear that you use, what you'd recommend, like blah, blah, blah. And they would get offended, like mad, and like go full Karen mode on me. And I'd be like, I'm just trying to learn. Like there was no education system out there for photographers at the time. And so now that there is, utilize that. It's so affordable. Like literally, I think it will fast track your success by a long haul if you allow yourself to invest into yourself, because then you're just going to save yourself so much time, so much headache learning from like mistakes. I feel like I see a lot of people that want to get into shooting weddings, for example, and then they get into it and it's maybe a little bit more intense or complicated, or it's not as much like art as they thought it was going to be. And it's a little bit more business and client management and marketing. And like, I don't know, I think it really is worth just seeing how someone else that's already done all the steps and has gone before you, like how they figured it out and what you can take and pull from them will save you so much time. And I think that money will just come back so much easier. So yeah, I would say mentor and learn. Put yourself in a learning mode and just like absorb as much as you can. Even if you're just digging through YouTube and like going down wormholes there, like there's even so much free education. Like challenge yourself to just, I mean, this podcast is like a perfect example. Like listen to people and like think about like, okay, how can I actually take that and like maybe not slap the exact process on my business because maybe it wouldn't work as well, but like what parts resonate, what parts don't, what parts can I use to creatively problem solve to be able to, yeah, like get more clients, to market easier, to be able to develop my style. You're going to have to push yourself, especially because no one else like is going to come in and do it for you when you're running your own business. So you kind of have to be the one to make those moves and keep on top of learning. And then I would also say communication. I think that's one of the biggest things that I love to preach about is just like communicate expectations for both your clients, that expectations you have of them, communicate the expectations that they should have of you more importantly, because I think a lot of the times, as soon as like one miscommunication happens between you and a client and like the client is maybe unhappy or blames you or whatever, that takes such a huge hit to your ego. And I feel like as artists, we're already so freaking hard on ourselves. Like we don't need other people also being hard on us or being mad at us. And we take it so personally because with photography, like we're pouring like our heart and soul into it sometimes, like, and then also pushing ourselves to like, you know, maybe be a more art-driven person and like forcing ourselves to learn how to do the business aspect as well. Like it's kind of a lot. And so I would say like really sit down and figure out what are the ways that I can show up the very best and get my very best work. Like, okay, is it when the clients trust me? How do I harness that trust? How can I foster that before we even meet? Okay, can that happen with like maybe explaining my approach, maybe explaining why I don't Photoshop skin or why I don't liquefy people like in post, or why you might keep more of like a fly on the wall approach, or maybe why you're more like direct. I think just understanding exactly like what makes it so you can do your best work, and then teaching your clients how to make that space for you and then you for them as well. So yeah, just like communication is so, so important. I think a lot of it happens in like the preparation as well.
Yeah, totally. And what I also hear you saying is like kind of standing by the boundaries or the communication that you've already sort of set up. So it's kind of like, yeah, where someone asks you if you can Photoshop this thing and you say, no, that's not like part of my process. Like really standing by that and not kind of getting a little bit further down the track and being like, oh, all right, for this time, you know, I'll do it. Like, so it's like,
yeah.
You know, really having your communication in place, like with other people, but being clear on it, like yourself, and like really being aware of what you will and you won't do. And like,
yeah. And just like, I have a running list in my phone. I have literally since I was like, yes, once I started my business, I've been doing this where if I am like, shooting a wedding or a shoot or I don't know, just any experience in my business where I'm like, this isn't awesome. Like this is not great. This could have been avoided or whatever it is. Like even if it's something that doesn't really have to do with photography where it's like, cool, like really wish the wedding planner would have let me know like X, Y, and Z beforehand. Like there's just so many things where you're in the moment being like, I wish this was different. Take note of that. And then later on, think about how you can like take that and communicate to prevent that. To me, it's all about like preventative care rather than like doing emergency medicine with stuff like that. Like with the example you said with like Photoshopping, like there were so many times when I was starting out where, yeah, like I would push myself to figure out how to Photoshop crap where I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to get rid of that fence in the background. Thank you so much. But like, and then I would sit there for hours trying to figure it out and it would look like shit. And I would just be like, oh, this is so frustrating. And so then like, I was like, why do I put myself in this situation? Like, it's my job to educate the clients on like their expectations of me and like what I am able or capable or willing to do. And so now like, I mean, I can Photoshop, but like I hate doing it and I'm not great at it. And so like on my website, that's one of the things that people see before they hire me is like my stance on Photoshopping and retouching skin and retouching like people's body sizes and things like that. And even like at weddings, a lot of times, like I'll have like a mother or a planner or a bridesmaid or whoever come up to me and be like, can you like shoot this? Like you can Photoshop that, right? And I immediately am like, no, sorry, I can't. I just say, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm like, so I can't, like, I don't know how. And immediately it's like, okay, that's me setting the expectation. So that way later on, I don't have to like feel like an a-hole trying to like explain to them why, I don't know. It's just like a whole thing. And so to me, I'm always setting expectations, even if that has to be done in person. And sometimes that can feel a little bit awkward, but then you just like nip it in the bud. Totally. And then it's like, okay, let's pivot and make it so we can take a photo that doesn't require Photoshop, you know?
Totally. And I think people have weird expectations about what Photoshop can do anyway, or like how long Photoshop so takes. Like people are always like, oh, you can just Photoshop that, right? And it's like, here's this website. It's called Fiverr. Like you might be able to find someone on there that can do it for
you. Yes. I know, especially with like AI now.
Oh, I know. It's wild. Okay. So this brings me to my next point because I heard you talk on another podcast about how you basically book anyone who walks through the door, which is like a little bit controversial because I've spoken to a lot of other photographers who are like, no, like I have a really strict vetting process about like who books with me. Like I only want to book clients who like are aligned with like what I, you know, what my vision is and like what kind of, you know, like people seem to have a little bit, well, just different approaches, obviously, as everyone would.
Right.
But I just kind of want to dig into like how you teach people to be your ideal client and like, what does this mean? How do you do this? Like, why do you approach it that way instead of the other way? yeah, just really curious about this particular point.
Yeah. So I totally used to be that same photographer for a long time where I was like, I only take on weddings or like clients if, you know, it feels really aligned in the way that like we have the same style. They want like this messy, weird, maybe imperfect type of posing and like it's just not super crisp and whatever. Like I wanted to only attract people like that. I wanted to only shoot weddings that were like at a cool venue or in a cool outdoor space, or I don't know. There was all these things that I thought I needed in order to feel like I was getting clients that made it so I could create the work that I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, after just doing this for so many years, I've realized, at least for me, the thing that I value the most in my clients is that they fully trust me and that they are willing to lean into the process and make it about more than just photos. Because A, I started to find that like, yes, I was good at that. I was good at vetting clients. And I kind of started to get really bored because I get burnt out when I'm doing a lot of repetition in my business. And so I was like, wow, I'm doing such a good job of like attracting this very niche, same kind of client, that like, I feel like all my work is starting to look the same. And like, I'm not really connecting that deeply with some people. And I also started to realize that, I don't know, a lot of times I was getting clients where, although they're great people, they really just wanted to get photos for like social media or whatever, which is cool. Nothing wrong with that. But to me, I was like, that kind of makes it feel like very performative and like takes storytelling and the emotion and like all of that deeper level stuff out of it, which I feel like once you've done photography for so long, shooting photos just for the sake of shooting pretty photos of people in a field, you're going to get bored of that. Like you're going to master it at a certain point and then be like, okay, what's next? Because we're artists, like we're always needing to be moving forward and growing and expanding. Otherwise, we just feel so stagnant. And then that creates burnout. And it just kind of, I don't know, starts messing with our heads a bit. And so for me, I was like, what do I actually value? Like, what makes me feel the most fulfilled? What brings me the most joy in this job and like with clients? And like, where can I make the best work? And it always came down to, yeah, just having clients that like fully valued me and like my approach and what I do and trusted me and wanted me to do my thing. And so I kind of just realized, I was like, okay, I literally don't care what people look like. I don't care where they're getting married. I will shoot courthouse weddings for all I care from now on. I don't care if it's in, I've shot weddings in people's kitchens with like the fridge and the microwave in the background. And I'm like, that was one of the sickest weddings I've ever shot because it was the people that made it really special versus like some big epic Iceland elopement. To me, it's totally about the connection. And so a lot of my business is so connection driven. So like, if you go on my website and stuff, it's all like all of my copy, everything is like based around that because that's like the type of thing that I'm trying to call in. But I've also realized that like I can teach basically most people, not all, but like most people that like kind of come through the door looking at my website, looking at my work that want to work with me, I can teach any of them to be my ideal client just by communicating with them. This is like my approach. And not only like, this is what it is, but this is why, this is the intention behind it. This is why I don't do things this way. This is things I've done in the past. And this is like how you can get the best experience out of this. And I also feel like I just kind of take an approach where I'm like, I want people to hire me because I am the best fit for them, not because I'm the cheapest, not because you just want like my work. I want to like make sure you get the best photographer that's like the best fit for you too. And if that's not me, that's totally okay. Because I just know that if that one doesn't work out, another one will come through the door and I'll be able to book someone that's like maybe a little bit more aligned. So yeah, I feel like a lot of it comes down to just communicating over and over and over. Like, what is an ideal client? Okay, they trust me. How can I tell my clients to trust me? How can I initiate a conversation? And I kind of try and imagine it if I was just talking to someone in person. Hey, yeah, I've been doing this for X amount of years. I've shot so many times. I've shot all over the world. I've shot this and that. And like, I've seen everything under the sun. And for me, like, I feel so solid as a shooter, yada, yada. Like, you can go on and on. But to me, I kind of always bring it back to like, I feel like I'm the best fit for my ideal client because I can make people so comfortable. And then I just let them know, like, this is kind of what that process looks like. So that way they're not completely out of the loop once they get to the shoot and they're like, oh, this is what it is. Like, people are very familiar with how the shoot's going to go and everything before we even get there. I don't know. There's just a lot of things that I feel like you can do and like conversations you can have, whether that's through your website, like things that you post on Instagram, things that you talk about on like your initial call, emails, like pricing guide. Like, you can put it in so many different places. Like, there's even one post that I made like 2 years ago. And I was talking about like why I started offering self-love sessions and kind of like my story of like how much certain photos of me mean to me versus ones that where I look perfect and I'm glowing and the light is awesome and my outfit is killing it and like my jawline looks great. Like, great. That's cool. Like, love that photo. I look good in it. But to me, like the photos that I see of myself when I was going through something really hard and like was going through something very internal, I might have like a double chin in it. I might be laughing really weird. I might be like making a weird claw with my hand, or I might be wearing just some dumb outfit. But like, to me, those photos are so much more meaningful because of like the strength that I was putting into myself at the time and like the things that I was going through. And so even just me sharing that story on my Instagram, like now that post still, like I even shot a session last night. It's been 2 years since I posted that. And she brought that post up. I think we don't realize how much little things like that, that we put out can actually have such an impact on how our clients see the connection that they have with us, with our work, and like why they want to have a very similar experience. And so like storytelling even is one of the best forms of communication. So yeah. Just talking, just setting expectations.
Yeah. And I guess it's kind of like trusting that the information that you have out there, or like the way that you sort of consciously portrayed yourself through all the channels of like social media, website, like blah, 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 all of those things communicate yourself in a way that gives your potential clients a good enough idea of like who you are, that they have enough information to then decide whether to trust you, whether to open up to you with their connection, whether to like get creatively involved. And like, I guess if you have a client that's willing to like do those things, then you're able to take the sort of connection-based photos that like you want to take. And it doesn't matter where they are or what the setting is, but like if that's the thing that like qualify someone as being your ideal client, then like making sure that the communication that you have out there gives people enough information to be able to decide that like you're the right fit for them.
Yeah, totally. And like, I still even now, like there are some times that I turn clients away where I can tell maybe they like really love my work and they really want to work with me and like it sounds great, but then we start talking more and more and it feels like they're very specific or a little bit more controlling. And I'm like, ooh, that makes me feel like you maybe need a photographer that's maybe a little bit more type A and like a little bit more aligned with that type of like, they love having those expectations so they can like think, kind of go through and tick things off the list and make sure they did a perfect job. Whereas like for me, I don't want to like be told exactly what to do. Like it just puts a lot of pressure on me. Like, so that's like an example of like, okay, maybe this isn't a good fit, even though you love my work. And then I refer them out to someone else and I'm like, they have really similar work. They have a really similar approach, but like they're going to be a way better fit for you. So yeah,
totally. It's like they've got a spreadsheet with a shot list that you can tick off.
Exactly. Like, as you yep.
This podcast is brought to you by the Unscripted Posing app, the one-stop shop photography app for photographers looking to up their posing game, streamline their business, and look and feel like a professional. With Unscripted, you'll confidently rock every shoot, capture those emotion-filled images you've been craving, and create a fun photo shoot experience for everyone, including you. Join over 200,000 photographers and search Unscripted in your app store now. So what comes after, you have like a lot of experience with like clients and weddings and like doing that sort of on the tools kind of work, but you've also sort of started thinking about other ways to make money where like you've got this education thing. And then like, you've also got this passive income like stream, and that passive income seems like just such a thing that's like
marketed to you online, or like you get a weird WhatsApp message that's like, do you want to make $10,000 while you're at home, you know, working from home? It's one of those like magic words that I think we need to like demystify a bit, because I know that it's possible and it's been possible for you, but can you like kind of bring it into the real world for us? How do you actually do it? What even, maybe just like define it, talk about like how you do it and how other people might be able to do it too.
Yeah. So I kind of unintentionally gotten into doing my education. Like at the time I was doing mentor sessions here and there. And so I knew people wanted to work with me and like they wanted to learn from me. And I would kind of get a lot of like the same questions in my DMs over and over. And this was like years ago. This was like 8 years ago when this was happening. And like my Instagram wasn't even like big. Like I just had like rando photographers asking questions. And I don't know, I kind of got to the point with like doing so many mentor sessions that I was like, oh, it seems like there's a lot of repetition in what people want to know and what they're craving to know. And it didn't really make sense for me to do the mentor sessions at the price point that I was doing them for a while, because I was like, I love mentoring in person, but it does take like a lot of energy, a lot of prep work. And like, I can make just as much money doing a shoot where like, it feels easy on my energy. And like, I don't have to prep for it. I just get to like show up and like make that money in a lot smaller amount of time. And so I don't know, I kind of got to the point where I was like, okay, well, how can I make this monetarily make sense? Because I do really love teaching. I'm very passionate about it. But I was like, okay, what if I just like start compiling all these questions that people ask over and over, and I make an online workshop, guide, resource situation. So that way when people ask like, hey, do you offer mentor sessions? Instead of me, you know, needing them to like fly all the way out to Utah, spend a whole weekend here, that's pretty expensive and like not as accessible for a lot of people as well, especially because I don't know, I know a lot of my education students are moms and stuff. And so to me, I was just like, okay, what if I just can send them like a link to like a much cheaper option where it's way more affordable. They can go at their own pace. They can watch it all online. And then if they still have questions after, they can be in my Facebook group and then they can get more one-on-one support from me there. And so, and at the time, this wasn't really a thing. Like, it was pretty, I don't know, there were people doing it, really big names like Sue Bryce and I don't know, like really big, like fashion photographers and portrait photographers that were shooting for Vogue and whatever. Like they were the ones doing it with Adobe. But I was like, I feel like I can make like a small version of that, even if it's kind of ghetto. And so, yeah, I ended up compiling all of that. I took like, I don't know how long it took. I probably worked on the project for like a few weeks, but yeah, I like put together some videos, answered all of that, made some resources, and then put it up online. And I honestly was just making it so that way I could just send the link to people that wanted to like email me and come and mentor with me in person. So I could be like, hey, actually, here you go. But then I ended up posting it and like launching it publicly. And within just a few days of that being out, I made over $250,000. And I mean, before that, I was sleeping in my Honda Civic. So I was like, I'm getting punked right now. Like, I don't think at that point I had ever had more than like maybe $5,000 in my bank account at once. And so I was like, whoa. Like what just happened? Like did I just win the lottery? This is my one and only thing. And it was, yeah, pretty crazy to see how powerful that was. And I was like, oh, there's a lot of opportunity here. Like people obviously want this and I want to do like an even better job and make it even more niche. And so then I started just kind of like following that train of being like, okay, like what do people want to learn? And crowdsourcing, just being like, hey, what do you guys want to learn from me? What are you curious about? What do you struggle with? And then figuring out, okay, where can I teach? Like, what can I do to make more resources available to people? And yeah, it just kind of naturally started to happen that way, where it built itself up into now being like an entire educational platform with like tons covered. And it's just a lot more. So rather than just one workshop. So it's been great because of that, I'm able to make the money that I want without it costing me my time. Like with any sort of service industry, like with photography, you can raise your prices. You can raise. And like at a certain point, you're kind of like, I'm not going to raise them further than that. Like you can, But like, even like where I'm at right now, like I love where my pricing's at. Yes, I could keep going up and up and up and like get into like really high end, like luxury or like celebrity weddings and get paid big bucks. But I'm like, yeah. I don't really want to charge more.
Cause it changes the clientele, right?
It changes like, a lot for sure. I feel like I'm in a sweet spot. So I'm like, I don't really feel like I need to charge more for my work or even want to. And so at a certain point, you're going to be like, okay, well, there's a cap on how much you can make because it is dependent on your time and your time is limited. There's only so many shoots, only so many weddings, only so many things that you can do in like a week, a month, a year. And so there is a cap on your income potential. Whereas with passive income, you can just keep selling and you can like continue to break those ceilings over and over and over of what you thought you could make. And so it's nice too, because I feel like a lot of people, I kind of have like this misconception about like passive income being fully passive. Like they think if they just launch a product, put it out there, they'll wake up every single morning with like another couple hundred bucks in their bank account. And it's like, okay, I mean, I don't know anyone that's been able to happen to unless they have like a huge team of people, like where like literally every single day is generating money. Like you do need to kind of always be interacting with it and working with it at a certain level. I mean, the time to money exchange rate is way different because it's like, yeah, like I can spend a few weeks putting to, I mean, obviously it takes years and years to learn the things that you're putting into like education, but like I can take a couple of months or a few weeks or whatever to like make these resources and launch it and then make 20 grand. Whereas like, okay, maybe it would have taken me a few months to make 20 grand shooting so many weddings and editing so many more hours and doing all of like the back end work. So yeah, I think you make a lot more per hour. I'd make passive income, but it definitely does require ongoing nurturing to make it not only, I don't know, a lot of people like launch products, they get excited, they have a good launch, and then like it drops off unless they post about it, unless they push it on their audience, unless they run a discount. And it's like, to me, I did that for a long time and it became pretty exhausting. And I also realized like, okay, I've exhausted like my entire audience of like who I can sell to. Like if someone was going to buy from me, they would have bought from me by now. And so I started looking at like, okay, how can I create a system that is not fully passive, but a lot more passive than like my sales relying on my engagement with like pushing something or running a campaign or sending out emails or ads or whatever. And so now I have an entire system based or like built together where I don't even like really utilize my Instagram anymore. I do like when I do a new product launch, I'll like share everything on there, but like ongoing, no, like I don't really want to like exhaust my audience of constantly trying to sell to them. Like they're following me, yes, to learn from me, but not to like have ads in their face constantly on my account and like not, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can only sell so much to like your organic audience and then you need to look outside of that. And so now I have an entire like online ecosystem basically built for my online education. So that way it is much more passive. So I only have to like kind of check in on it here and there throughout the year. I kind of do like 1 or 2 days a month where I dive into it. And luckily now I've built it up to where I have a team to run a lot of things for me. But yeah, like now it actually is very passive and I just get like nice emails where it's like, hey, this week we're sending you a few thousand dollars. Good job. Like this deposit's coming from Stripe or whatever. And so yeah, it definitely gets to a point where it is completely passive. It is a little bit more work than I think people expect going into it because yeah, like you get the ads, you get the things where it's like, I made X amount of dollars overnight. I made I made $250,000 in a few days. And it's like, okay, but like then I completely dropped off until I learned. I mean, it took me a couple of years to learn how to build this entire ecosystem. It definitely requires a lot more work. Like I think so many people now are so hung up on like the get rich quick type of stuff and like the crypto bros and like they people just want a get rich quick solution. But I think that, yeah, it definitely requires more work than people expect, but I also think it's way more rewarding and it is much more, I don't know, much more fluid than people expect. And it can bring you a lot more money than you'd expect as well. And a lot of people, a lot of my students that I teach how to like build passive income for, a lot of them just assume that they can't do it because they've seen someone else do it and they're not to that level, or they doubt themselves. And I don't know, people have millions of excuses as to like why they don't do it. But to me, it's like, honestly, why not set aside 4 weeks and like put together something and launch it and just see what happens, and then creatively problem solve from that point to be like, okay, this went well, this didn't. Let's do this differently and launch it again, or launch another thing, or run a different campaign. Like, I think a lot of people give up really quick, unfortunately, if like they're not immediately successful. But you have to keep in mind, like, you are building like a completely second business when you're adding passive income to your photography. So yeah, but honestly, you make so much more money doing it. So I think it's worth the time risk. Like, nothing else, like, you're really not risking anything else. Like, you're not going and getting a loan from the bank to start this whole second business. Like, it's literally just you putting in your time. If you have a laptop and a camera, you can do this. That's all that you need. And like, skills, I guess, to teach or share. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, because it sounds like you already had like a demand, you already knew kind of what would sell based on like the repeat questions that you got. And then like, you already had like an audience that like was sort of willing and like waiting for you to, not waiting, but you know, like, you knew that if you delivered like a specific product, that there was an audience ready to sort of take it on. Once you sort of had sort of, I don't know, learnt by doing that, and then there was like a bit of a drop off, or like there was like a peak or like a little plateau kind of afterwards. And then you were like, okay, I can't really market to Instagram all the time because I don't want my Instagram to just be like one big ad. What are the other parts of the ecosystem that like you began, I don't know, like tapping into so that you could reach maybe an audience that was like a little bit more receptive to the other offerings that you came up with afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, funnels is like the biggest thing. So basically creating like an entire sales funnel through both email lists, text lists, getting cold audience members, like cold audiences in like, they don't know who I am. They've never heard of my name. They don't know what my work is. Like, they just are completely disconnected from me. Finding ways to tap into cold audiences and like photographers that don't know who I am at all. And so I've done that, yeah, through funnels, through ads, through SEO, through collaborations and partnerships with other brands where maybe they have like a really great reach in Europe. I don't have like the best reach in Europe, but I have a really great reach in the US and Australia. And so if we collaborate, then like, I get the reach in Europe and then they get the reach in the US and Australia. Mm-hmm. So it can become something that is really beneficial for both parties. So you can kind of tap into other people's just audiences and doing podcasts. Actually, one of the, and not even like being interviewed, like starting a podcast is one of the best ways to do a funnel. I have a friend, she's in Australia and she's a business coach. She doesn't do photography, but she doesn't use social media at all. She just basically doesn't exist on social media. Everything she does happens through her podcast. All of her sales happen through her podcast. And like, one of the products that she made was a Trello board. She made, do you know what Trello is?
Yeah, kind of. Can you just refresh my, it's like,
yeah, it's like a task management. Yeah. Yes. So it's kind of like Asana or something like that. It's free. It's like, people that are listening, it's honestly really nice, like having something like that. If you like keeping track of like your projects and stuff, but yeah, it's basically a project management online portal where you can give yourself tasks and organize things. And it's like a big online notebook. And so she had this Trello board made for herself of like how to make a podcast. So when she was making her podcast, she kind of like kept track of like how she did everything. And she put it into this Trello board. And then she started realizing like so many people, or not so many people, but she kept getting asked, how did you start your podcast? How did you get this set up? What gear did you use? How did you start getting people to come on? Like, how did you get traction? Blah, blah, blah. And she was like, wow, like a lot of people have questions about this. Like, what if I just give them my template that I used when I was making mine? And so she made a blank version of that Trello template and started selling like her template. And I mean, she's made like 400 grand off of that template that took her. I mean, she already had it made. And then when she made the blank version and, you know, put it up online and made like a sales pitch and a sales page and all that jazz, I mean, it took her only a few weeks to do that.
Wow.
And she's made almost $500,000 from that little template. Or like, even with, I don't know, I feel like basically, I feel like I'm going to get off topic, but there's so many ways that you can utilize passive income and like selling things that you don't even have to come up with on your own. I think a lot of people think you have to educate, you have to teach, and it's like, no, like look at the resources that you're using over and over in your business. Like, would that be beneficial to someone else? Can you turn that into a template? Could you sell that somehow? Like my questionnaires that I send to all my clients and have been for years, I was like, why don't I sell this to photographers? I sell it for $20. And like, even just last year, it made me like, I think 23 grand just from that little template that I'm already using in my business. Like, or like my contract template I started selling. Like, there's all these different things where it's like, oh, I'm like doing this with my backup process. I wish that I would have known this a lot earlier in my career. What if I teach how to do my backup process, where it's not even like you're inventing something new, you're just kind of relaying information for like someone that is like, you know, maybe three or four steps behind you. That would be really, really valuable, and it would save them a lot of time. So yeah, I feel like a lot of people just think it might be a little bit harder than it is, especially once they like exhaust their hot audience, like their followers, the people that know them, the people that have been loyally kind of watching everything that they do. But once you realize that there's so many more ways to market, like a podcast or SEO or ads or whatever, making a funnel, doing an email list, starting like a really fun newsletter. Like, think about all the ways that we're constantly marketed to. I think so many of us, because we're so tapped into Instagram, we think that's the only way that we can sell. And so if we don't have a lot of followers, we're like, okay, well, we don't have enough people to sell to. It's not even worth doing. And it's like, okay, well, like, are you only ever buying something if it happens on Instagram? No, like you're buying so many things all the time. There's a million ways to market, but like you kind of just have to like unplug from the idea of it all has to happen on Instagram and be like, okay, maybe like I'll start playing with Pinterest instead and see where that takes me. There's just so many different options.
Yeah. And I feel like that point as well of what are you already using that like would be useful to someone else? It's like, you don't need to reinvent the wheel, but if there's something within like your workflow or your system that you could replicate and then sell, that would be a really good place to start. Like, I think a lot of people just think that like passive income is either like presets or an online course.
Yes, no, it can be so many other things.
Yeah, totally. And I think that that's kind of like, there's just something kind of daunting about it, where it's like, okay, how many semesters would I have in my online course, and what would be my curriculum, and how would I provide support, and how would I even set myself up as an authority? And like, you kind of get down the rabbit hole a little bit with that kind of stuff. But like, I feel like just that very simple sort of dip your toes in the water with, all right, like what's like a template or a contract or something that like you could just put on your website as like a little, yeah. And it doesn't have to be a high price point either. Like you said, your thing was like, $20. So you made 23,000 luck over the course of a whole year.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. It can be a lot more lucrative than you think, for sure.
How has like tapping into passive income, like defined your approach to making money, or like changed your approach to making money?
I think it's shown me that it can be a lot easier to make money than you think it is. Money can flow a lot easier. And like, I also feel like the main consistency between both my businesses, with photography and with online education, the thing that sells anything is really strong storytelling. So when I'm teaching people how to sell, I'm teaching them how to tell stories, because naturally, like, our human brains, that is how we become emotionally attached to something. And people typically, I mean, yes, we'll buy things if it makes sense, but more often than not, we want to buy things from an emotional standpoint. And teaching people how to storytell, how to basically create an emotional connection between them and their customer or their client or whatever it is. And that is like where I think there is so much money like that is being missed out on. Like, I see so many photographers all marketing kind of the exact same way. And they're all like, oh, I'm not getting any clients. And it's like, well, maybe change your approach. Like, think about like how you're marketed to. Why do you buy things? What about this ad made you click and go through the buying process? What on this website made you stay on it for more than 4 seconds? Why did you buy this thing? Why did you splurge? Why did you invest in yourself? Why did you yada, yada, yada? Like, pay attention to like the reasons why you buy things, and then think about how you can replicate that in your own business, whether that is with photography or something that's with passive income. Like, it always kind of comes back to storytelling and then finding your version of telling stories about how basically A plus B equals C, or I had this happen, I solved this problem. You kind of have like a hero story moment, and like, this is how I got here, and like, I can teach you how to, or whatever. For example, with me talking about my self-love sessions, I had made that post about, these are the photos that really matter to me of myself. I wasn't even trying to sell something. Like, there was no agenda on my mind of like posting that to create this whole other division of my business where I do self-love sessions. Like, it just kind of naturally happened because I told a story and because people really emotionally connected with it. And now that's like almost all the work that I do is self-love sessions. So it's kind of funny where that can take you. And so I think teaching yourself how to sell is actually a lot easier. I think a lot of people give the power away to being like, if I run ads, if I do SEO, if I do this, if I do that, if I'm consistent, if I post on social media every single day, post on my stories, post every single week, engage, do this, do that. And it's like, yeah, like those things like are good tools. They can get you so far, but without the emotional connection behind it, without the heart, without that gusto in that magic behind all of it, it's going to fall flat. And so I like teaching people how to like really ground and like become really confident in what it is that they're selling, and then how to communicate that value to other people.
That's a really good point. It's not just about like ticking all the boxes. It's about kind of tuning in to like what you're actually emotionally driven by and like how you can share that with other people.
Totally.
Okay, so we're kind of starting to wrap up a little bit here, but we did a little poll to our community because a lot of people, I'm sure, would love the opportunity to just pick your brains one-on-one. So the next best thing that we got was we just sort of collected a few questions from a few different people. And this kind of takes us to our next little section of the podcast. And we'll start with the first question, which was from Nicole from Arizona. And she says that she's struggling with bookings and she wants to know, how do you build up your client base?
There's a few things. As far as marketing goes, again, I feel like Instagram, we think that's the only way to sell to clients because that's like where we showcase our work. And it seems like that's where we're always at. When it's like, okay, think about if you're a wedding photographer, for example, where are brides looking for vendors? Where are they looking for information? Where are they looking for inspiration? Like, yeah, it might happen on Instagram, or it could be happening. They could be Googling things. That's like where I turn to when I'm looking for something local, or I'm like trying to figure out, especially with a wedding, it's usually people's first time getting married. And so they're going to turn to Google. They're going to go on Pinterest and look for inspiration. They're going to ask local vendors for referrals. They'll ask their venue for a referral. Like, think about places like that where your clients are already searching for information, and then go straight to that source rather than expecting them to find you on Instagram. Like, it's already obviously so difficult with like the algorithm and everything like that. And so I would say like, do as much as you can offline and or just off social media, at least, especially with SEO. So that way, when people Google you, you come up and you're seen, and people can then be introduced to your work and become obsessed with you. Like, there's so many different ways like that that you can market, make connections with people locally that are vendors or venues. Like, there's a gorgeous venue that I love shooting at here. It's like an hour north of me and it's so beautiful. And after the first time I got to shoot there, I was like, I really want to shoot here again. Cause like, this is so sick. And I feel like I would really connect with anyone that like wants to do their wedding up here. Cause it's so rad. Mm-hmm. And so I went and found the venue owner and was like, hey, like, how can I make this a good relationship? Because I have so many clients that want to come in from out of state and are looking for a place to get married. Like, can I refer them to you? Would you be willing to refer to me? You can even create like a kickback system. Like if you love working with a specific florist or whatever it is, be like, hey, like if you're, or like a wedding planner. Yeah, I did this with wedding planners for a while in Hawaii because I really wanted to work in Hawaii more. I was like, hey, like if you have any clients that, you know, want this style and you refer them to me and they book, I'll give you like a 15% kickback reward type of thing. So there's like so many ways that you can do that where it's almost like old school marketing, but it's yeah, like, it's like relationship really well.
Based. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really great. Putting your work on Pinterest, pin your work. There's so many cool ways to get found on Pinterest because the algorithm works so differently because it is a search engine rather than social media. You can submit your work to blogs to get featured because they've already got their Pinterest game down and they'll basically do all the work for you. So that way, if someone finds like that online wedding blog, they can like immediately be redirected back to your website and they already have like a big Pinterest audience already. And so your work is more likely to be seen there. So like, there's just a lot of different ways where it's like, I think just take a step back and like pretend social media doesn't even exist. Like, how would you get found? Where would your clients be looking for people and start there and then just creatively problem solve?
And what was your biggest investment that had the most impact on your business? This is from Megan Lynn from Canada.
Definitely investing in a coach and online like education for sure, but like going to workshops, all of that is so big. I just hired a business coach this year and it's had the biggest impact on my business and my life and my well-being. And like, I used to always be like, I wonder who like invests in like life coaches and business coaches. Like, I just never saw myself as one of those people. And now that I've done it, I'm like, oh, I can't go without this. Like, it has had such a profound impact on the way that I show up in my work, in my art, with my clients, with my business. And so, yeah, like finding educators or opportunities to learn in a way that you really, really connect with and feel really comfortable. Like, and yeah, like being willing to be pushed by those teachers or coaches, that is going to take you light years ahead. Even if you only start small and just invest, not even money, but like your time into like going down those YouTube rabbit holes, listening to the podcasts, asking questions, things like that. It doesn't always have to be a monetary investment. It can even just be your time.
And it's like having that like external accountability too. Like even if you need to like manufacture external accountability from yourself, still just like setting aside that time. And like, yeah, I feel like that's a really powerful way of like motivating yourself. Okay, so this next question is from Sophie Milson, and she's based in New Zealand. She wants to know, what do you do in the self-doubt moments and when you're in a lull?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this now for 14 years, and I have found that lulls are part of the process. And I think it's like the most unrealistic expectation ever to like expect yourself to not experience that. And for me, I experience it like very regularly. I've been doing this for so long. And like, even just this year, I feel like I've gone through like three or four lulls and like low points where I'm like, or being really hard on myself, or I just don't feel inspired at all, or I'm feeling really frustrated with like not being able to like achieve a certain look in my work or this or that or whatever. And I feel like now I just understand that there's purpose in that. And like, it's natural because we're artists. Like I said earlier, like, we care a lot about what we do. Like, I honestly don't know any artist that has like gotten to a certain point with their work where they're like, yeah, I'm good with it now. I'm just going to do this over and over and over and over. And that's it. On actually, maybe like wildlife, like old man wildlife photographers, like, or they're shooting like calendar shots. Like, I swear their work never evolves or changes because they're just like, I'm just trying to get the cool shot of the grizzly. That's like the only type of artist that I know that like is fine with just letting their work stagnate and like get to a certain point and then not go any further. But for a lot of us, like we feel really like connected to our work. We put a lot of emotion and heart into it, especially because as photographers, a lot of time we are photographing that and we are being storytellers and we're doing a little bit more than just like snapping photos. And so, yeah, like it's just part of it. Like we're going to be self-critical at times. We're going to go through lulls. We're going to have those moments of self-doubt, but it's like, I think now when that happens, I don't have negative self-talk. I'm like, oh, yep, this is where I'm at. And it will lift and it'll maybe last a week. Oh, maybe it'll last like 3 weeks this time. And that's okay, because I know that like experiencing this low kind of feels like a slingshot where I'm pulling back and I'm pulling back slow, slow, slow. And once I release, I can shoot forward and I get all that motivation back and I don't try and rush myself anymore or have these like unrealistic expectations of myself to just like grind out better work every single time I shoot. That's a lot. It's a lot of expectations to put on yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think now we feel like that's almost like the norm because we're on social media and we're so plugged into what everyone else is doing. And we feel like everyone else always has it figured out and everyone else is always moving forward and going faster. And we need to be there too. And it's like, that's like one of the biggest misconceptions about like all of this. And so, when those moments start coming up, I'm just like, oh, cool. This is a sign for me to kind of like redirect my energy and like slow down, pull back, do less, and like figure out like, usually for me, I need to like desensitize a bit. I need to do less. I need to like delegate some things off of my plate. I need to do things that feel creative that have absolutely nothing to do with photography. I love photography so much, but for me to continue loving it, I have to do a lot of things that are creative completely outside of that. That can just be literally dancing in your kitchen while you're cooking and having a little sexy Italian pasta night with yourself, or like watching some cinematic films or going on walks and literally doing nothing. Like creative people need time to sit around and do nothing. I think I saw a meme, or like not a meme, but like a saying or a quote or something floating around a little while ago on Instagram saying that. And like, yeah, we do need to do less so that way we can do our best, not do more. So yeah, just taking a beat and like remembering that it is just part of the process. These lulls come and go, and it's just kind of part of being an artist, and you can just be patient and like give yourself a little bit of grace during that time. And instead of using all that energy that maybe you're like frustrated with yourself or putting into self-doubt or negative talk, be like, I'm going to redirect this into doing something that actually like fuels me up and takes care of myself, and just like trust that that will lift.
And it's also like you give yourself the opportunity to like bounce back quicker if you don't have that like extra layer of negative self-talk that you have to like wade through before you can like get back to the creativity, you know?
Totally.
Just kind of, yeah. But lol, you like just like throwing shade on like the old man nature photographers. Like just like, oh, they're Uncle shooting Bob. Like a grizzly bear, like they're shooting like a predator. I feel like I'm like, cool, your style doesn't need to change. You're just trying to survive out there. Like,
yeah, no, like you're good.
Like, that's okay. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with nature photography.
Get the moose shot, move on.
Yeah. Okay. The next question is from Mally Blair. She's from North Carolina. And she wants to know, how do you settle on your style?
I felt like for a long time, I needed to like define my style and figure out exactly what my niche was going to be, of being like, this is the India Earle style. And I don't know, I feel like that was a lot of pressure that I put on myself that I wish that I didn't, because I feel like it ended up taking a lot of joy out of like the process of figuring out my artistic voice for a long time, because I was like, I need to have it figured out. I need to have it figured out. Should I stay here? How can I make this better? I don't know how. Like figuring out your style is an ongoing thing. Again, it's part of being an artist. I feel like the style that I have right now is even completely different than the style I had 6 months ago. Yeah. And like, to me, I love that. I love that it's always evolving. And I even am at this point now where I approach every single shoot as like its own thing, not like, hey, this is my work, this is India Earle style. Like, to me, it's not a copy and paste situation. I really like to make my shoots and everything that I do extremely hyper personal to the person that I am shooting. And so we do mood boards together. I do a questionnaire with them. We do a call beforehand, get a pretty good idea of things that they're naturally drawn to and like what lights them up and like kind of the things that they want to bring into the shoot. And so, yeah, like it's different for every single person. And I feel like that for me is really great because I get burnt out if I'm doing things repetitively. Repetition burns me out extremely quick. And so I like always kind of going into each shoot with fresh eyes of being like, okay, this is all the inspo they pulled, instead of looking at it and being like, how do I recreate this style of this photo they pulled from Pinterest or like this person's photo from Instagram? I'm like looking at like the mood board as a whole and being like, what consistencies are in here that like they're drawn to? What am I drawn to? Like, how can I bring those elements into my own style or for like this specific shoot? When I was figuring out more of my style where I feel like, yeah, like these are things that I do consistently like bring into shoots, even though I'm like kind of going at it differently every time. Like I would look at things that I was pinning on Pinterest or things that I was saving on Instagram and looking at all of them and being like, oh, there's like a lot of consistent elements between all of these things. Okay. I really like negative space. I really love deep blues. I love really wide angle shots, super close up. Okay. Next time I shoot, I'm going to use a wide angle lens and shoot close up rather than being like, I'm just going to recreate this photo being like, oh, this is my taste.
Yeah.
I almost look at it like figuring out what food you like to eat. I don't know. Rather than just trying to like constantly recreate the same recipes over and over, I like to bake. So instead of like making the same exact chocolate chip cookies every single time, I'm like, oh, I love it when there's like extra salt added in. Like, I'm going to do that. That's like my favorite. Like, I'm crazy about cookies. And so I love when cookies have way too much salt almost. So I like bring that in. Like, you do the same type of thing with photography. So looking for consistent elements that you're drawn to and then being like, how can I bring that into my style? That's how you can kind of curate your own thing.
Yeah, without boxing yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
And the last question is, Izzy from Utah wants to know, are there any new presets coming soon?
I have been working on this freaking pack of presets that I am going to be launching. I don't know when. I'm kind of a perfectionist about presets, especially because I think people have really, really high expectations of presets because there's all this marketing out there where it's like one click preset. And like, I don't know, people get really upset if it's not perfect and if it doesn't work on every photo. So it is a lot of work making them. And so I'm just like really taking my time. And I'm not trying to just like rush and make something quick and like hurry and put a product out so I can make a quick buck. Like I want to make it very high quality and very versatile and like beautiful and timeless. And so, yeah, I'm just taking my sweet time. I've been working on them for like over 2 years now, but I'm almost done with them. I'm kind of in the stages of putting final touches. So over this winter, I'll be launching them and I'll be posting updates on like my Instagram and on my email list for people that are interested in getting updated.
Oh, the mystery builds. Okay, watch this space. And what other exciting things can we expect to see from you this year?
I don't know. I actually feel like right now I'm in this phase where I'm like, I'm going to just do way, way less. Like I've been going for so long. Like I said, I started this when I was 14. I've been doing the education since I was 21. Like I've been building business after business and like growing them and expanding them so, so much. And like, I got them to a point where they are in my eyes, like, I'm like, this is perfect for me. I love them. I think they're really well-oiled machines. And I've been doing a great job at like running both of them in tangent, but I don't know. I kind of just like got a message or something from my intuition earlier this year where I was like, you need to just chill and just like slow down and be a dumb 20-something year old. Cause I haven't really had that experience. I grew up really fast. And so I'm just doing way less or nothing and just letting myself kind of be a kid and like just chill. And so
I love that.
I don't know what you're going to see from me other than just doing less, which is good. Really happy for me right now.
Good. I'm so happy to hear that. And I also feel like we need to all do a little bit less. I feel like, I don't know, every time someone says that, I just feel so supportive of that because that's what life is just for, not working all the time. And just yeah, like enjoy, especially because you've been, you have been at it since you were a teenager. So I feel supportive of this, of this new pace for you. And I hope we don't see anything exciting coming from you this year.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been so awesome having you on. I feel like we covered a lot of things, but I'll make sure to include where people can find you in the show notes. Do you have anything else to add?
No, just thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this conversation. India really is an amazing resource just because of how much time she spent in the industry just figuring it all out as she goes along. Here are some of her top tips that she shared with us this episode. One, if you're a new photographer thinking about getting into shooting weddings, find yourself a mentor and learn as much as you can from them. They're sure to have their own systems in place that can help you get more clients, get a feel for the reality of having your own photography business, and help you build confidence before stepping out on your own. Two, next, prioritize communication. This is how India was able to teach her potential clients to be her dream clients. The more people understand who you are and what you're about from the get-go, the better your photos will be. More importantly, you'll be less stressed and better able to focus on your creativity. If you're curious about tapping into your capacity to make some passive income, start thinking about what you're already doing in your business that might be helpful to someone else. Then, consider some of the ways that things have been marketed to you outside of Instagram and why that particular process led you down the path of making a purchase. Get creative and don't be afraid to do things a little differently. As always, we love hearing from our community, and it was so fun for me to be able to ask India some of the questions that you guys had sent in. For future interviews, we'll be sure to keep you posted via our socials so you can weigh in too if you didn't get a chance to this time. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. This podcast was created on the unceded land of the Bundjalung people, and we pay our respects to elders past, emerging, and present.